Welcome to Rethink Travel Podcast. I'm Natalie, your host, and this show is for conscious travelers, powered by Rethink Travel, a platform that aims to educate on sustainability and create a community of conscious travelers around the world. You will listen to conversations I had with hoteliers and people dedicated to make tourism better. So if you seek more from your travels than just a nice place to stay, let's get to the next story. Today, I'm hosting Hans Pfister. He's the co-founder and CEO of the Cayuga Collection, a collection of sustainable luxury hotels and lodges in Costa Rica, Panama, and Nicaragua. Hans is also a pioneer when it comes to sustainable travel. He's been doing it for 20 years, so I'm very happy to host him today. Hans, thank you so much for being here with us.
No, thanks for inviting me. I really love what you're doing. I love, you know, following you on social and media, and I think you're doing a great job getting the word out about, you know, how travel can be done better or differently. So it's an honor for me to be here as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hans. So let's begin with a little bit about you and what brought you to start the Cayuga Collection.
Well, you know, I grew up in southern Germany, and always liked nature, always liked the outdoors. I also grew up during a time when the green movement started in Germany. So I had this this thing about sustainability, even though it wasn't called that back then, in me. And I always had the travel bug. I always loved to explore new places. So when the opportunity came up that I could study hotel management, that I could live in other places, you know, it just kind of fell together. So when I first came to Costa Rica, my first job was actually not so, you know, sustainable or exotic. I was hired to open the first Hampton Inn in Costa Rica. And what struck me there was, and this was, again, 25 years ago, or more than 25 years ago, and what struck me there was coming to this beautiful country, Costa Rica, you know, with all of its nature and wild animals, and rivers and volcanoes and beaches. And then I was in this hotel where we were serving coffee in styrofoam cups. You know, it just drove me crazy, right? You know, it just killed me. So I said, no, we got to do something about it. So in 1995, I started our first program there at that Hampton Inn called Think Green. So we started to eliminate, you know, single-use things. We started to put dispensers in the bathrooms. We started the towel program. We started composting. And again, you know, those things are very standard, or should be very standard by now. But back then, you know, 25 years ago, that was really something that caught the attention of a lot of people. And people were like, what are they doing there? So that's how I got started here, and went back to Germany for a couple of years, ran a hotel there in Stuttgart. And then since 1999, I am back doing small sustainable luxury hotels, eco-lodges in remote locations. And as of 2003, we're doing it under the Cayuga Collection name. So that's in a nutshell how we got here.
That's amazing. Did you live anywhere else than Central America?
I, you know, lived in the United States for, you know, I did a high school year there as an exchange student when I was 16, and then did university. I did an internship in Hong Kong and Southeast Asia for 6 months. And then, of course, Europe, where I grew up.
So your eye-opener to embrace the sustainability space was really from that experience at the hotel in Costa Rica, or did it come also from elsewhere?
I think it was just bits and pieces from growing up and from my travels, but it then just came together here in Costa Rica, and then I had the opportunity to really take action and do something, because I was then also going into management positions where I could really say, no, we're going to do this, right? You know, it wasn't from an intern point of view where I'd say, it'd be nice if we could do this and that. And they're like, yeah, sure. You know. Thank
yes,
you very much.
I totally get that. We'll probably talk about Costa Rica a little bit, but I feel like it is a region of the world. It is a country that, you know, implemented sustainable measures even within the entire country, even beyond the hospitality industry, for quite some time.
Yes. No, definitely. I mean, when I came to Costa Rica and I found this country that really had done incredible things in the past, you know, the first thing was abolishing the army. I mean, what a great thing to do, and then use these resources, put in education, in a healthcare system. And for example, the last couple of years, this really paid off, because Costa Rica's healthcare system was very robust and able to deal with the pandemic quite well, compared to other Latin American countries. And then the other thing was there was some pioneers in the early 70s that put together this national park system. And so, you know, many other countries might have national park systems, but here it's one third of the country is basically protected in national parks or private reserves. What's really amazing is it's not just a national park that's, you know, a vast area that's just locked up. It's something that you can access, that you can experience, that you can appreciate. And I think, you know, being able to go into these pristine national parks and have that experience is something that really helps you understand the value of nature and how precious it is, and it really helps you to understand, okay, I want to do my part to protect this as well, because we can only protect or love what we understand.
Exactly. That's very true. And the properties you have in the collection, they're all mm-hmm. independently owned. And, you know, I guess you work very closely to the owners and the managers of the hotel. So what is your process yes. to include them? What do you look at when you add the properties, and are you looking for more properties now?
So our model of managing, you know, small sustainable hotels in remote locations for owners is quite unique. You know, I haven't really found anybody else that does something similar as we do. And I think, you know, thinking about a little bit why is because it's really hard, you know, to work with 7-8 different owners of different nationalities, different ages, different backgrounds, different everything, you know, is a challenge, because in many cases, my business partner and I, Andrea, we're not necessarily managing the hotels. We're managing the owners. You know, the general managers at the hotels are managing the hotels, because when we go into those hotels, we're basically managing their babies. We're managing their dreams. We're managing their vision of what things should be like. So there's a lot of pride. There's a lot of emotional attachment to the hotels. So it's not easy. So we don't really go out after hotels and ask them if they want us to manage. We wait until they come to us. You know, it sounds a little bit counterproductive if you're trying to run a business or grow your business, but we found that only if the owners are really ready to give up control and to give us the management of the hotel, it can work. And then when we select the hotels, of course, they have to be in a location that we feel is attractive to do tourism, to do luxury tourism. There has to be, but most important, and we've said no to many requests from hotel owners, is that there's a chemistry, that we share values with the owners. You know, we all have to be on the same page on sustainability, on quality, on how we treat employees, on how we deal with difficult situations, because it is a very close relationship. And yeah, so we have great owners, you know, for a long time. You know, recently one of our hotels that where we got started got sold after more than 20 years of working with those owners, and other relationships are well over 10 years. And so we're really happy with what we've been able to do for those owners and with those owners. And it's a great relationship, and it really can make a big difference for the hotels, for the communities, and everything that's happening around there.
I love how you talk about chemistry, because sustainability is so hard to grasp sometimes. It's, I mean, even mm-hmm. the luxury mm-hmm. and everything, these are words that are very different to so many people. So, you know, it actually brings me to asking you, because I love your definition of luxury, and I would love our listeners to also know your definition.
I define luxury in different ways, but let's see if that's the one that you're referring to. And if not, then we'll we'll see what you heard. I think that for us, luxury goes beyond the Dubai. I call it the Dubai definition of luxury, of the golden faucets and the marble, and that the further away things are brought in, the more luxurious it is. You know, for us, luxury is really about local. So it's about local food, local seafood, local produce, you know, everything brought in from as close as possible. It's about feeling that sense of place when you're in one of our hotels. It's not, you know, Buddha statues stuck in a hotel in Costa Rica, trying to import furniture from Bali. You know, for example, one of our hotels in Panama, which is an island, we did all of our furniture there from fallen trees of the island. We have our own wood shop there. So it's really, you know, our definition of luxury is local. You know, the more local we feel, the more luxury. And of course, It's this contact to nature. You know, when you walk out of your room and you walk onto a beach and you hear the howler monkeys in the back, you see the macaws flying by. That's just really priceless. And I think these kind of experiences really make the difference.
I totally agree. Perceptions of luxury for so many people in the world, I think not two people really have the exact same definition, but I totally agree with you. The further away from the Dubai, the gold encrusted and diamond covered is really the opposite of what we mean, I think.
Yeah, I had this experience where I was at a meeting of sustainable lodges in the Maldives, and we were on this sandbank and had a sundowner, had some cocktails, and I remember enjoying the fish that they served, and I asked the chef there, what are those little fish strips, and it's like salmon, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm in the Indian Ocean, you're serving me salmon? That's weird, right? So again, I do still think that a lot of people just associate luxury with bringing things from far away. We don't serve lamb from New Zealand or salmon from Norway or blueberries from Maine. We really, are focused on 100% local products in food and beverage, but also in what is the sense of place in terms of decor, in terms of furniture whenever possible. So I think, yeah, that's definitely really important. And people appreciate it, And there's another thing, by not depending on supply chains from around the world, right now, we were able to operate just perfectly fine, because some supply chains in the pandemic kind of broke down, and that made it difficult for, the salmon from Scotland to arrive all the way to the Maldives, because maybe the Suez Canal was, or the planes couldn't fly, or, I don't know.
I totally agree with you, and there is going to be a lot of education to do for travelers to understand that, this entire concept of luxury that needs to steer away from having everything all the time all around the world. I totally agree with you. And, there are as many perceptions of sustainability as luxury. So I want to deep dive a bit into your sustainability initiatives. So what are the projects you're most proud of, you would say?
I think that, when people talk about sustainability, especially in North America, I hear a lot of things related to buildings, to LEED certifications, to conservation of energy, renewable energy, and all of that is super important. I'm all on board with that. I think in the case of us here in Central America, and especially at Cayuga Collection, what we've decided to do is really focus on the human factor, on people. So, we, of course, try to reduce our carbon footprint as much as possible. Of course, we use energy efficient systems and all of that. But what we're really focusing on the most, and as you said, what I'm most proud of is what we've achieved with the people that work for us at the lodges or the people in the communities around us. And, I can give you a few examples of, a young girl, 17 years old, walking into one of our hotels and asking for a job as a receptionist. And 10 years later, she's the general manager of that hotel. Again, a local person. So we don't hire expats. We don't bring in people from, the Swiss general manager and the French chef and the Dutch revenue manager, although, we get a lot of requests. People want to work for us, and I tell them, I write back to them and say, I'm so sorry, because of our sustainability efforts, we don't bring people in from abroad. We try to develop our locals into these positions. So the locals are not only gardeners, cooks, and maids, but they're actually all in top management positions. Another example is a construction worker. Many times we take on the construction workers or people that are involved in building the hotels and bring them onto the operation of the hotel. And so we have an employee at one of the hotels in Manuel Antonio, and he started as a bricklayer, right? Very, very simple. Then moved on, worked as a driver in the construction. Then we took him on, and now he's the operations manager of the hotel. Again, he had very little schooling, nothing of university, nothing of hotel management, didn't speak English, but really was able to come along. And then not only did he become the operations manager, he also then started his own business, transportation business on his own. And now he's also providing transport from the airport for us. So he has a fleet of cars. And again, many examples in another property when, 12, 13 years ago, we tried to figure out how to get rid of plastic straws. We weren't just, obviously we weren't happy with the plastic straws, but we weren't happy with the importing of paper straws or something like that. So one of our local gardeners gave the example, said, "Hey, I have this plant that grows in my farm. You know, I can try to bring some straws." So he brought us these bamboo straws that ever since, you know, we've been using in all of our properties. He's no longer, of course, an employee of ours. He has a very successful straw business. So it's not only the moving up through career paths within Cayuga, but also then providing opportunities for them to become entrepreneurs and move on. So again, the focus is on people. And I mentioned career paths. Another thing that I'm very proud of is our company doctor program. So we provide medical checkups and basic services for our staff, so they can, you know, so we can make sure that they don't have any underlying condition, pre-diabetes or high blood pressure or something. And while a doctor program might sound pretty standard in New York or in Berlin or in cities like that, in very remote places where it takes 5-6 hours to get to from the capital, to have access to you know, quality healthcare is not that common. So I think this has really made a big difference. And especially now with a pandemic or post-pandemic, I think this is something really, really important. People are very appreciative of it. So many examples around people, around, you know, human resources. But I also, as I mentioned, we got rid of single-use plastics over 10 years ago. So this is not something that's new for us or interesting. And also during the pandemic, single-use plastics, unfortunately, made a huge comeback around the world, right? You know, you fly on a plane, you go to restaurants, and everything is wrapped. We were able to avoid that. We were able to show that you can still be safe during the pandemic without having to bring back all that plastic. So that was also something that I think was important to do. And as you can see, I can just go on and on and on.
No, I love it. And I want you to ramble. What I really like about the conversations we're having is that the travelers can actually listen to the behind the scenes of all these great hotels. And you are you are really someone I admire. You post a lot of things on your blog and you're very open and transparent with everything you do. And I feel like this is really great. Mm-hmm. And the way you put the people center stage is to me something that's very important, because a lot of people in the sustainability space also speak a lot about carbon footprint and the buildings and stuff, but it's really far beyond that.
We take you where we recycle or, compost and the treatment plants, you know, so there's really no secrets. You know, we're completely transparent hotel in that way. And we really want to share, you know, everything that's behind being a sustainable hotel with those guests. And what we found in the past is that our guests love the experience that they have front of the house, food and the rooms and the tours and all of that. But when we take them back of the house and we really share all of those things with them, they turn from satisfied guests to raving fans, right? You know, they just absolutely like, wow, you know, didn't even imagine, you know, all of this. And then there's great discussions, because a lot of them are our guests are very well educated, very well traveled. And they're like, well, what about if you do this? And what about, have you thought about that? And there's some good discussions happening. So I think just like this conversation we're having right now, often we're having it with our guests, because we're, you know, one of the things that we set out to do is inspire our guests that after they leave our hotels, hopefully they take action themselves in their own lives, in their professional lives, in their private lives. Many of our guests are very influential people, right? You know, in companies, in government, in NGOs. So when we're able to inspire them about our way of looking at sustainability, we hope that they then take action and do something where they can influence others with sustainability as well.
And this is a very important part as well, because we want people to feel inspired so they can implement things when they go back and they become your best ambassadors for, you know, exactly, talking about these initiatives. And I cannot even tell you how much I believe in education, inspiring people and leading the way so people feel empowered to make more conscious decisions. I love that you're doing these tours around the hotels. Are there any conservation and around wildlife or nature? What are the issues that people need to pay attention to the most in your region?
In terms of Costa Rica, Australia is doing a pretty good job, as I mentioned before, with the national parks, with private reserves. You know, some of our hotels are within private reserves as well. So I think that's something that's, you know, where people are doing a good job in Costa Rica. You know, it can always improve, but I must say that in my 25 years here in Costa Rica, in certain areas, I see more wildlife today than I did when I arrived. So it's actually, I think Costa Rica is one of those stories where wildlife is actually coming back. That's a good thing. One of the things that I always say what would be important is to continue to develop the tourism model that Costa Rica is so famous for and so admired for. And when I say the tourism model, it's a model that's very inclusive, right? You know, when a lot of people, when they come to Costa Rica, and the same is true for Panama and Nicaragua to a certain extent in how we operate. But it started in Costa Rica. You know, you're not necessarily going to one resort and everything is included there. And maybe you do an excursion, maybe not, but everything is kind of stays within the resort. So there's the money is concentrated when you pay that resort. Often it's packaged with a flight and other things. So there's really very little that goes out to the community, right? And I think what happens typically in Costa Rica, because 90% of the hotels here in Costa Rica are 40 rooms or less, is that people travel from one place to another. You know, they have itineraries and they explore different parts of Costa Rica. They either drive, they fly with local flights, they have private transfers. And so they spend a lot of money on the way. You stay in one hotel, but go out to dinner to another place. The next morning, they take a local guide and explore the national park. And then they come out and they eat lunch at a local restaurant. And then they buy a souvenir at the store down the road. And then they use gasoline from the car, from the gas station down the road. They just, it's a democratic model, right? The money gets spread all to everybody and not to just one person. So I think to make sure that you continue to do that when you travel, not to just spend it all in one place, but to kind of spread it is important. And that's why we encourage our guests also when they stay with us to go out to other restaurants, to go out and explore and do tours. You know, we don't have the interest of keeping it all for us. You know, we really want to spread the wealth.
You told us a few stories about people working with you and these are great success stories, but you also have education programs in place, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
And again, things kind of got a bit halted with the pandemic because the schools were closed and everything. So I must say in the last, let's say, 2 years, we haven't done a whole lot of education. But one of the things that we identified, again, to making sure that things get better in the future is environmental education for children. So in the past 10 years, we've been quite active supporting a local foundation with this. And this is something that we're probably gonna look at taking up again. But teaching the children about environmental education really is huge because they become like the little police person within their own households and teaching their parents then to, hey, you can't throw this away, you can't buy plastic bottles, you know. So we've seen that has worked quite well.
Yeah, education is really at the center stage of what our future needs. So, you know, we call our ideal travelers the conscious travelers, but you call them the curious travelers. And I was actually really curious about what you exactly mean by that.
Well, I think it's both. It's conscious and curious, you know. But when I say curious, is a traveler that doesn't just go to the hotel to consume, you know, to be served, but then asks, what's this on my plate? What is this? You know, where how does it grow? You know, many times we then have the waiter come out and show the raw vegetable, or, you know, explain where it comes from, or they want to know about how we source our seafood because it's so good, but that we on the menu we not necessarily specify what fish you're gonna get, but it says catch of the day because the ocean is not a supermarket, and we work with our local fishermen with a dock to dish program. So we can't say you're gonna have mai mai every night, right? It's gonna be, well, if there is mai mai, we'll serve you mai mai, and it's fresh because we don't have it don't have to have it all the time. So it's just that traveler that wants to know a little bit, where does this food come from? Who made this first piece of furniture? What do people do here after work? Like sometimes we've had guests go fishing with some of our staff members after work, or they play soccer, or there's all kinds of stories where we're guests that stay a little bit longer, connect, or often with families with some of our local staff, and then they actually partake in some of the off-site activities, like I say, sports or fishing, or and we've even had guests invite some of our staff to come visit them then in the United States or in Europe, and they paid for their tickets and show them around, you know. So there's some great stories how guests have connected with our staff. But again, the curiosity often evolves also about how do you live here? What is life like in Manuel Antonio and Puerto Viejo and in Uvita, wherever we're located? And I think that connection is great. And yes, our travelers ask a lot of questions, which we love, obviously.
That's very cool. How can we find more of these curious travelers? Like, what can we do for more people to be curious and conscious?
Well, I think that, first of all, hopefully encourage the ones that are there, you know, to share their experiences, right? You know, to kind of them, it's more powerful if they share their experiences than what, you know, when I share the experiences, because it's, again, it's a testimonial is much, much stronger than if I do it. So I think it's important to give a voice to the travelers, to share what they've experienced with their families and colleagues. And I think that the media can also play a role. I mean, when we invite press or, you know, influencers or whoever comes to stay at our hotels, they don't only focus on the traditional luxury again, the thread count of the bathrobe and the, I don't know, you know, all of those things, which are important and which we're obviously providing, but that they go with us on that back of a house tour. And we're like, wow, we made tortillas with a local person from the community. And I understand now how the black water gets treated at the hotel, right? You know, maybe it's not that sexy, but again, it's part of the thing. And it's definitely not great if the black water goes into the ocean and then you swim in that ocean, you know. So I think it makes you feel good as a tourist if you know that the water is treated and then it's being reused to irrigate the gardens, and you don't use precious fresh water to do that as well. So I think it's continue to share the story, it's continue to inspire people. I think what you're doing is wonderful, getting these stories out to people, and little by little, it's I don't think it's going to be like from day to night a huge change, but I think every person counts, every traveler, every conscious, every curious traveler counts, and we'll get there step by step.
Yes, definitely. All these words, green, eco, sustainable, everyone seems to be talking about it since a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I think in the tourism industry, we've been hearing it for maybe 3-4 years, but I think general public have been really hit with these words in the past year and a half. There is a risk of massive greenwashing because there are so many platforms coming to life. Mm-hmm. So how can travelers really be sure who they can trust, in your opinion?
No, you're right. I mean, there is a lot of it's trendy right now to be green, to be sustainable, to be eco. So I think it's important to really make sure that who you visit, that they really walk the talk, you know. So I mean, once you're at the hotel and you ask them, can you show me your sustainability initiatives, you know, and go on the back of the house tours, I mean, there's nothing to hide, right? There's, you know, if you don't have a treatment plant, water just goes in. Well, okay, you know? If you have huge bins of single use plastic bottles that you have to recycle because you don't avoid them in the first place, that's a clear message. So obviously the easiest is when you're at the hotel. But the other thing is, how do you find out before you book your vacation, right? You know, where are you going to stay? So my recommendation is look at the website. Of course, there should be something on the website, and it just also see how much real estate sustainability gets on the website. If it's just one paragraph that we conserve energy and we reuse our towels and blah, 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 you know, like, okay, there, trying, but that's maybe not the real thing. But look for innovative, different kind of initiatives that, that people talk on the website. Look at if they're really taking care of the people and not just energy saving, because that's more profit for the company. And then when you have a chance to call a reservations agent, ask them. If the reservation agent can answer your question about what does sustainability mean to you? What are you most proud of what you do at your hotel? The question that you asked me, and that reservation agent can answer that question and really tell you a story and tell you how proud they are of what they're doing, you're onto something. But if that reservation agent's like, you know, I don't know, I'm just here to make a reservation, and then maybe again, it's not quite there. So I think by just trying to connect to people and ask them those questions at the reservations level. When you get to the hotel, ask the receptionist, ask the gardener if you speak the language, ask the maid, you know, and if you get just a blank stare, then something might be off. But if you get a response from the maid cleaning your room saying, you know, we use biodegradable cleaning products, we avoid single-use plastic, we separate the trash from the guests leave, and she can tell you some of those things, then that's huge, you know. And then I'd say, okay, you're probably in the right place.
Great advice. We're going to wrap up in a few minutes. Is there a question people like me should ask to know a little bit more about this topic?
One of the things that I think is not asked enough is, you know, how hard it is to do what we do, right? You know, it really, you know, to be sustainable and really walk the talk is something that's a huge challenge every day, right? You know, because you get faced with choice. And again, you know, what we try to do is find that symbiosis of luxury and sustainability. And sometimes, you know, competitors really go all out on luxury, and then there's pressures on us, and they're like, you know, they just hired this chef from Argentina that's obviously very good, and maybe he's a little bit better than our local chef, right? You know, so how do we compete with that? You know, do we now hire a chef from France, or do we figure out how to do it with local resources? There's this hotel that's opening up. The interior design is amazing. You know, it's all these furniture that was produced specifically for that hotel in Bali and shipped halfway around the world. And it looks amazing, and the rooms are just so luxurious and everything. Well, we're working with our local people in the wood shop, and the furniture is very nice, but it's not quite that artisanship that there is. So I think it's challenging, right? You know, to work local, to employ only locals, to do all the things that I told you. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of meeting the guest expectations, but I think it's important that you can throw money at the problem, and you can find the easy way and still say that you're sustainable because you ask people to hang their towels and whatever, you know, the basics. You recycle all the water bottles, plastic water bottles that you put in the room. I guess the thing is, I love what I do, but it is very hard, and it is very, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the team to find that balance between luxury and sustainability, and we struggle with it every day. And I guess the thing is, it'd be great to get a little bit more recognition for that. Maybe that's the way. No, because we're really proud of what we do, and we do it with a lot of love and with a lot of passion. But I guess it's just important to know that, like Kermit the Frog, right? You know, said it's not easy being green, right? You know, so I think it's important to just understand that whatever, when you really go into sustainability and you really take it seriously, it's hard. You know, it's a big challenge.
Yes, and I think you're doing an amazing job, and I feel like you should get a lot more recognition for everything you do. And I really hope we can push the message out there. It is definitely hard, but it is because of people like you that the industry changed. I think we're at the beginning of this change, and if there was not people who really stand their ground like you, I don't think we would be here right now. So do you have any final words on the future of travel, any hopes or message you want to address?
Yes, I think I want to say that I'm very hopeful, you know, that I'm very, very positive. If you would have asked me a year ago, I would have said, wow, you know, this is rough, you know, I don't know where this is going in. But we've been operating, we reopened our hotels quite early last year in June. Worked with the local markets, which really surprised us, which supported us tremendously, and that allowed us to survive. But what we're seeing right now is just unbelievable. I mean, our hotels are at levels above 2019. You know, so we're outperforming pre-pandemic right now already. We're seeing it's right now still mostly North Americans. They love the experience. They love the nature connection. They love the sustainability. They love the service. They love the people. And they're staying longer. You know, I feel there's a little bit more consciousness. You know, I think they're really just so appreciative of this experience that they couldn't have for you know, several months. So I think we're in a good place. Especially the small sustainable luxury hotels, I think will do quite well. My fear is that it might turn a little bit into crazy roaring 20s, you know, and that there's, you know, and that we go back to business as usual, over tourism, you know, all the things that all the problems we talked about before the pandemic, that we go back to that a little too fast. So I think one of the important things is that we continue to talk about how can we come back better from this, you know, that seasonality, for example, right? You know, that not everybody travels in the same times, Christmas, New Year's, President's Week, that people don't all go to the same AAA destinations, right? You know, the Venices and the Eiffel Towers and here in Costa Rica, I don't know, the Arenal volcano and Tamarindo, which are, you know, a little bit more you know, Papagayo, which are more popular, but they venture off into less explored, less AAA destinations, just again to spread the pressure and to spread the wealth across the countries. So there's several examples that I think we need to look at and continue to educate the travelers that tourism comes back better. You know, and we're all happy that tourism is coming back because tourism does well for the communities here. But I think we have a chance to have it come better. And I think that's important that in the next few weeks and months, we continue to talk about this topic and help guests make better decisions.
Thank you so much, Hans. Well, we will do just that. We will keep talking about it. And, you know, we are really looking forward to changing some minds for people to understand how to be a conscious traveler, or in your word, a curious traveler. So Hans, thank you so much for this conversation. I know a lot of people will love to hear what you have to say. If someone wants to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me through our website, cayugacollection.com, or they can write to me directly at hans@cayugaonline.com, or I'm on LinkedIn, you know, and you know, if you Google me, you'll find me eventually. So happy to answer any questions or to help you arrange a visit to our hotels, and especially that back of the house sustainability tour. We'd love more people to go on that and experience that. And thank you, Natalie, again for the great work you're doing of getting the word out. Thank you very much.
Hopefully we can make it to Costa Rica.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. Find us on Instagram, we.think.travel, to stay up to date with our news. We will be back very soon with a new episode, so don't forget to subscribe. Have a great day.